Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. You already know what time it is. I hope y'all got y'all food for thought together. It's your boy TP Thomas putting the cafe together. That's right, the Crossover Cafe is back in session. The green room is already a mess, people. So while we get into the intro, I got to clean up back here. And they're already picking on my slogan, but I know people that love it. So Otter, tip off this blazer, loosen up the tie. Step aside the cafe. Timeless is alive. Sports City, the master chefs are now at work. Let's go. Okay. That beat gets me going. I get that old, that Brooklyn feel. I done met with my big brother from Brooklyn. He came to Connecticut, y'all. I had my big brother actually sit down and enjoy a meal with me. And we actually watched some games. So I'm pretty happy to say I got that going down out here in Connecticut. That's right. They came to the New England tri-state area. If you want to connect it, you get connected and connected. Anyway, the call-in number is 907-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And like I said, I got a chef here in Connecticut, y'all. I got a chef right here in the hometown, outside of me, because, of course, I'm the notable guy here in Connecticut. But got another chef here. Got to get these guys in here single file so we can put these dishes out there. I know we got a lot of stuff going on in the sport world, let alone what we got here to distribute here at the cafe, crossover style. NBA playoffs, like I said, is at full throttle. Second round is amongst us. A lot of interesting stories, including Kevin Love, including Billy Donovan. Like I said, I don't want to give y'all too much of what I got, but let me get these guys in here single file as best as I possibly can. Calling in by way of the state of Indiana, you guys know him as Arteezy, the fantasy basketball hero himself. Royce, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Man, I'm feeling good, Timeless. And I have adopted a new moniker. You can just call me the FBA. That's your fantasy basketball aficionado. You feel me?
Okay. I got you. Now he gave me something to work. I'm writing it down right now. FBA. I even tried to live with Swiss. I tried to give him some to work with. You know what I'm saying? I said, I want to get you a nickname. I said, Arteezy, you know, try to throw my little Snoop Dogg, even though I don't like Snoop Dogg as a rapper, but, you know, just give him a little something, you know, and now he came up with his own stuff, so that's cool. That's cool. I could do Royce, the FBA King. You know, we could do something like that. I got to work with it. It got to roll with me. We're going to work with this. I'm glad Royce is in the building. Let me get these guys in here. I got to get in and out because I'm telling you, I got a lot of this to throw out here. Secondly, calling in by way of the state of Virginia, known from the Keystone State, we got Mr. Simmons, a.k.a. Aaron Serious, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
You know what? Y'all can just call me Serious. I ain't getting, y'all know who I'm in. No, shout out to my man, what's coming to do name. It's good to be here with you all for another edition of the Crossover Cafe. And then we'll allow us to dive into this stuff.
It's Sports City. Let me allow y'all, you know what I'm saying, to so y'all can get to know Aaron Simmons, y'all. His brother is deep in the church, yo, and I heard him hitting some gospel, y'all. This dude was hitting high notes. He was hitting Whitney Houston high notes, people. Listen, just to let y'all know, my boy got talent. Look, he don't just do the drums. He's singing, y'all. He's singing. Okay, I got to get the rest of these guys in here. I got Slim Jim, a.k.a. Mr. Fitzgerald. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Man, this is a really good weekend of sports action. You got the fight. You got the draft. Man, you got playoff basketball, hockey jumping off. This is a beautiful weekend. We got beautiful weather. And I found out Sky Zoo is dropping a new album on June 23rd, Music for My Friends. Sky Zoo is my dude. Since we were talking about a Brooklyn vibe, that's my Sky Zoo is my favorite rapper. I don't care what anybody says. Glad I'm to be in the kitchen. And, man, let's just do this.
Okay, and last but not least, the guy that I said that is here in the state of Connecticut. We actually chilled last night, got to watch a couple of those NBA playoff games, watched a little hockey with him, too. I had to get his Sports City touch, and, of course, he got his little bar fight on, too, in the middle of the state of Connecticut, man. But
wow.
He wasn't under the Brooklyn guy himself. I ain't want him to get in no trouble because I don't need no riots here in Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? Nah, that might be a taste. I'm sorry to people out there in Maryland, but I want to make sure my boy get home safe, let alone Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus Chandler. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm all right. See, this is why I can't go places. Nobody lets me put my hands on people no more. Let me say this, Sports City. We got kids in college that don't understand the concept of being on time. And I'm disappointed to say I got a service member who doesn't understand the concept. Serious, 15 minutes early means you're on time. You do realize that, right?
You know what? Yes, sir. You are correct.
All right. Other than that, man, it's good. It's nice. I'm eating some. I got beer. I got Chinese food. I got three greens. It's about to get ugly tonight.
Man, he's doing good. He's doing real good.
I see too many links and posts of Asian people playing with cats and dogs. I'm completely done with Chinese food, completely. Okay, so let me get into these things as best as I possibly can. I don't know where to start. I know everybody's coming to the kitchen. For me, I think I'm going to save that for an entree in the midst of the show because I feel heavily about the situation, and I'm not going to just feed them that one. I'm going to talk about that one myself, being it is respectfully the team that I love and support, and I try my best not to talk about them, but obviously, they're not even in the playoffs, and they've been news relevant for the past two rounds. So we're going to get to that. But first and foremost, first thing out of the gate I want to get to, Kevin Love out for the remainder of the postseason. He's out for the next 4 to 6 months. He is up for his free agency situation. I want to see how you guys feel about this situation, one, for Cleveland, and two, does he return? And if you guys have an inkling on what team he may end up going to, whether it's Portland, where he's from Oregon, or if he goes to L.A. to help Kobe and the company out there and out with the Lakers, how you guys feel about the situation is up in the air. I'm definitely out here ready to delve these dishes out as best as possible. I'll start with you first, Chandler. Your thoughts on Kevin Love being out for the next 4 to 6 months. I'd say he should be out for the full six. Don't try to rush him back, but you know the NBA, these people in the front office, they try to get these guys out as soon as possible just to fill these seats. But your thoughts on Kevin Love and everything respectively around his name also.
Be clear, Kevin Love ain't playing in the playoffs again, all right? He is not going to play. He doesn't like the people he plays with. He's a miserable guy as it is. He's a guy who's a loner by nature. He's not a fit-in type of guy. He's not playing for the Cavaliers ever again. This was an injury that he could have played through. He could have. I've had a severe shoulder. I'm sure some of you guys have, depending on severity. But this was an injury. Hell, I remember Chris Webber getting his shoulder dislocated. Shoulder separated during a game and coming back at halftime, they wrapped it up and they kept moving. And you guys don't know, Chris Webber had that issue all throughout his career where he would get in the paint, get bit, and his shoulder would just pop out. Okay? And he never missed more than a week. This is a situation where Kevin Love looked at it and said, I could be healthy going into my free agency or I could play injured and hurt my stock even more because being in Cleveland has turned him from a so-called superstar into an ordinary guy, into the guy that some of us always said he was, which is, yeah, he's a good player, but he ain't no superstar. He's not a superstar. And that's been exposed in Cleveland. So my position on it is his agent told him, you're not playing anymore. Yeah, but shut up, you're not playing. And he was like, you know, you're probably right. Because he wants to get he's not staying in Cleveland. We all knew that. Anybody who thought he was going to come back to Cleveland, I don't know why you would think that. Tell me a player that would come back to a team that benches him in the fourth quarter and he's supposed to be an impact player. And he's playing for a coach who's never coached one game in the NBA, and that guy's benching him in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? I think this was kind of – this was the best scenario that could have happened to Kevin Love, I think, outside of him going on some hot streak and winning, you know, MVP of the finals. This was the best thing that could have happened to him. He doesn't have to play. He doesn't get exposed in the playoffs as a guy who will fold when crunch time really comes. And, yes, I know I picked Boston to beat Cleveland. You all, none of you believe that they would. I picked it because Cleveland. But the reality is there was no real threat from Boston. The threat's going to come in the second round and so on and so forth. So he doesn't have to get exposed in those rounds where the pressure ratchets up and he folds under that pressure. In my opinion, this was the perfect thing that could have happened to him. He'll get his money, he'll go somewhere else, Cleveland, he won't be exposed as a poor player performer. The best thing that could have happened to him was getting his shoulder pulled out of socket.
Wow. And that doesn't sound too good to me. I wouldn't want to have a dislocated shoulder, but let's throw this around the kitchen, see how everybody feels. Slim, I hear you oohing and aahing. Taylor throws out the possibility of him actually going out there and playing, but if my memory serves me right, I think he clearly was fighting to keep that arm in position as he ran to the locker room. Your thoughts on Kevin Love out for the remainder of the postseason, and your thoughts if he comes back to Cleveland or not, and if not, where do you think he ends up lacing up those sneakers, whether on the West Coast, somewhere East Coast, somewhere Midwest? Your thoughts?
Man, it's a tough injury. I called and made sure that Kelly Olynyk went and got his Olive Garden gift card in the mail from me, you know, for going and carrying out the hit, because he knew I had Chicago in the next round against him. Jameis Winston was the first overall pick, by the way. Man, you know, all jokes aside, Kevin Love, he really didn't seem motivated, you know, all the stuff that Chandler touched on. But I am going to go and say this. He at least wanted to go and be a contributor to a championship. I mean, regardless of all the drama that has been put out there, I'm pretty sure that he wanted to go and at least be part of trying to go and get this ring with Cleveland. The 4 to 6 weeks, he probably could go and come back if he wanted to. I remember those shoulder injuries that was spoken of with Chris Webber. But, I mean, you know, in the end, I mean, I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt. I have a hard time believing that he's going to go and miss out on a championship run, you know, just because of competitive, just to be competitive. You know, I really can't go in and go that far with Kevin Love. As far as his dollars next year, it is kind of a blessing in disguise. He does get to go and kind of sit out now, heal up, and watch what's going on, watch the landscape, and then go and make a decision and decide what he's going to go and do in free agency, see, you know, and get courted by all these teams. But, you know, to me, it's a tough break. I really feel like, you know, through all the drama, you know, in the end, he's still a competitor. And Kevin Love, you know, he wanted to go and be a part of a championship. He was having some good games during that series. So I refuse to believe that, you know, that shoulder, he's kind of coughing out with that shoulder, not wanting to play anymore. I don't see him quitting on his team like that.
Okay, Royce, I hear you in the background. Your thoughts on this situation with Kevin Love? I know that all of us here in the kitchen have actually spoken on this situation, and we actually had even Chandler said even if the Cavs won the championship, Kevin Love wouldn't be back. Now that he's injured and basically went out on the floor in his first postseason run, first series out the gate, do you think he'll return? Your thoughts on teams that he may potentially suit and him being out for the next 4 to 6 months?
Well, here's my look at, you know, with Kevin Love. I don't think, first of all, he's going to return to the Cleveland Cavaliers. One of the reasons being, I understand contract-wise, you know, he has a player option for next season, 2015-16, that pays him roughly about 16, you know, mil, you know. But he is 26 years old. He'll be 27 in September. It's an opportunity to get another multi-year deal. Does he want max money? I'm sure he does. Is Cleveland going to pay Kevin Love max money? I'm not sure they really will. So it's going to be about business, dollars and cents, because I think that's the smart thing to do if you're any player at the point in which he's at with his career. I'm not convinced, really, that Kevin Love is a guy who's concerned with winning championships at the NBA level. There have been many players before him, and there'll be many after him who will put up outstanding numbers, be considered stars, superstar, whether they actually are or not, and won't win the championship. It'll be about making money, because that's what, you know, it is. It's a profession. It's about earnings, man. And it's not really about titles for everybody.
Before you continue to go on, I want to ask you a question in the midst of that. And I hate to be, you know, the sour puss, or let me not say it like that, the sour grape of the situation. But do you think money is the only thing in the NBA? Because this is what it literally turned into. Everybody after the dollars, instead of trying to maintain or attain a championship.
Well, I mean, it's perspective. It's perspective and vantage point. My answer is not right or wrong. It has sides to it. You know, viewpoint-wise, I'll say, you know, of course it's not just the NBA, but it is the thing, period, in the world today. It's what we all do. It's about making the money. I mean, we want to be good at what we do. We want to perfect our craft. To some extent, we want to, you know, obtain, you know, respect and power. But, I mean, come on. What's this, how the old song go? First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respect. Money, power, respect. So, I mean, look, mm-hmm. Kevin Love is going to go out and get his money. I think that's just business sense. You got to make a living. You got to provide for family, so forth and so on. So without getting too much caught up in the life, you know, the basketball details, let's look at some of the teams out there with money. I mean, everybody talks about the Lakers and all of that because, you know, he played at UCLA because of all of a sudden it seemed to be some unrest in Portland, and it sounds like LaMarcus Aldridge might reconsider his free agency options and maybe bolt from the Trail Blazers. You know, if Aldridge leaves, maybe Kevin Love considers going home to Portland, Oregon. I think he could fit in and slot into, you know, what Coach Terry Stotts does, but I'm not sure that's where he wants to go and share the spotlight, because that Portland team is a really good team, and it's going to be about competing, getting in the playoffs. And, I mean, again, we see how he's conducted himself with other star players who to basically are better than him. We talk Kyrie and LeBron James. I would say, honestly, that Damian Lillard, and then you add the combinations of guys like Wesley Matthews and Nick Batum, if they all hang around, you know, they're going to have more cachet in Portland, but there'll be pressure on Kevin Love. Does he want that situation? Funny thing is, you know, if I'm going to speculate, I hate to sound like a homer, but I'm going to speculate, why not go to the Philadelphia 76ers? They got tons of cash. I mean, just think about it. They have tons of cash. They need three-point shooting desperately. They want to have guys, you know, that can, you know, fill the seats up. I mean, Nerlens Noel was a nice rookie, but he's no draw. No one's coming to see him. Joel Embiid, people are going to wait and see. what does he do in summer league? If he dominates summer league and looks like he could become some kind of superstar, maybe. But it's hard. I mean, like, when's the last time a big man was a box office draw? You're talking like Shaquille O'Neal and Kevin Garnett. So it's hard to find a big man these days that people really want to pay, you know, money to see. I'm not saying Kevin Love is that guy, but people were turning out to see this guy put up 26-14 and make 4 3-pointers or 3 3-pointers on any given night. So I don't know really honestly where he could go. I can speculate all day. I'm not a fan of the dude. I just didn't want to give my standard answer when we start talking about Kevin Love, and that is I don't care, because, you know, deep down, I really don't care. But, you know, I'm here to discuss, you know, whatever the disses are. But I don't really care about Kevin Love, where he goes, what he does, or whoever he plays for. He is not a superstar. He is an irrelevant basketball player to me. But go get your money, Kevin.
So you don't even give him stardom. So he's a regular player to you.
Man, he's a regular Joe. I'm not mad at him for being able to go out and get his numbers, but again, how many chances has he had to prove that he was a real star or superstar? When you put him on the court with the stars of the league, he doesn't shine. Forget outshining them or shining brightly. He doesn't shine. You put him in any – has he made an all-star team? I can't even remember.
Yes, he has.
Okay, but do you remember when he was an all-star? Do you remember how many all-star appearances? Do you remember him having significant moments in an all-star game? When he was on the Olympic team. When he was on the Olympic team. Do you remember him getting major playing time? Do you remember him as a major contributor, as a significant player in the World Games or the Olympics? No. Stars and superstars shine bright amongst their peers. They do something significant and so impactful, you talk about them. We only talk about Kevin Love, honestly. I only talk about Kevin Love really only because of fantasy. Because in fantasy, at the power forward position, if you can get a guy that's getting you 26 points and 14 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2.5 3-pointers, and can shoot free throws, he's a guy you got a roster on your team, whether you personally like him or not. You don't care about what his team is doing and wins and losses. All you care about is what the individual does for your fantasy team. So that's the only reason why I know Kevin Love's name.
Hey, Royce.
Yes, sir.
Can we also add in the fact of why he's being promoted the way he is? And we all know what part of that is, okay? There's a couple of guys who look like who don't look like Kevin Love who do a lot of the same things he does. They fill up the stat sheet. Wesley Matthews, for instance. DeAndre Jordan, for instance. There's some guys who fill up the stat sheet. Kevin Love resembles the majority of the paying customers in most NBA arenas. Let's be clear. He resembles the majority of the paying customers. I'm not saying it's a bad thing because you want to have the people who are buying your product be able to relate to the players on the court. And most of the people who can afford the good seats at basketball games don't look like you. They don't look like me. They don't. It is what it is. So that is part of why he is proclaimed as a superstar. That's part of it. And we can't ignore that. That is part of it. I'm not saying it's the biggest reason, but it is a part of it.
No doubt about it. But he's still just Kevin Love. You know what I'm saying? He can look, I give him credit. I mean, the dude, he can pass the ball from one end of the floor to the other and be on target. But the easiest part of basketball is hustle, effort, and energy, right? To me, that falls under defense. That's all defense is effort, energy, and hustle. You're not a superstar if you can't play both ends of the floor, if you don't want to play both ends of the floor. Okay? I mean, he's a good player. And it's easy to be, you would think it's easy to be even better, again, amongst other great players. The dude doesn't necessarily shine with other great players. He's the type of guy who wants to stand alone. And he really wants to, I personally, deep down, think he wants another Minnesota situation. I don't think he really, again, I don't think he really cares whether his team wins a lot of games or not. It's just at the end of the day, he could still, with the numbers he's been putting up prior to Cleveland, he could still find his way to the Hall of Fame as an individual. They give out rings for the Hall of Fame. So those yeah, great players who never won a championship, those great players who never won an NBA championship, they got Hall of Fame rings.
Yeah,
and if Kevin Love can get a Hall of Fame ring, guess what he's get to do? Get the middle finger to me and you. Because it's not going to matter whether we thought he was a superstar or not. Those people who are voting are going to look at his numbers and say, look at the points, look at the rebounds, look at the threes. Hey, not everybody gets to win a lot of games, but this is what he did. They're voting a Hall of Fame ring. That's all that matters to Kevin Love.
Okay, this is getting interesting. Well, let me continue to move. Sirius, your thoughts on this one? I know these brothers have been eating, and I got a ton of business to get through. These two are eating. Your thoughts on the Kevin Love situation, and do you think he comes back to Cleveland? And if not, do you think he goes west? Does he stay in the Eastern Conference? Your thoughts.
You know, man, I've been sitting back listening to these brothers go at it, and, you know, much of what I wanted to say has already been said, so for the sake of time, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. You know, Kevin Love, I don't want to say this was a blessing in disguise because I don't want to wish injury on any man. However, when you start to sit down and break things down, we all knew that he wasn't going to re-sign a max deal in Cleveland. So this campaign, this season, pretty much was an audition for him to go to another team. You know, when you start to look at the other teams that, you know, could use a Kevin Love, obviously the Lakers, you know, on the front runner because of the ties there in UCLA. I believe it was Chandler said something about Portland being an option. I mean, I'm not too sure where he'll end up. And I'm not too sure if, you know, being in Cleveland was such a bad move for him. I mean, obviously he's going to be sitting the bench and, you know, be in position to attain a championship ring, you know, with the number of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. So I'm not too sure if it's about ring. I'm not too sure, you know, what the situation is, you know, with he and LeBron and he and the organization there. And, you know, we all see the tweet. By the way, Dante Fowler just went to the Jaguars on the NFL chip. But anyway, I'm not too sure where he's at with Cleveland and the Cavaliers and that whole beef. You know, we all saw the rumblings about that. But I know one thing is clear. The man can play ball, you know, and I'm not going to discount the fact that, you know, he was a superstar or a stat stuffer, if you will, on a bad team in Minnesota, came to Cleveland and forgot how to play ball. You know, the same situation could be said, you know, for Chris Bosh, you know, when LeBron James came, you know, to Miami. He was a stat stuffer in Toronto, went to Miami and had to understand his role and had to understand how to take a backseat and had to understand how to play within the confines of playing with a megastar on LeBron James. So I'm not too sure what's going to happen. I'm not too sure what type of Kevin Love we're going to see coming up for next year. But I think the writing on the wall that he definitely will not be in Cleveland. If I'm a betting man, and those of y'all that know me know I am, I could see him going to L.A., teaming up with Kobe for one last hurrah in the Lakers and, you know, a push for the summer after that to maybe get Russ and, you know, Russ and Caleb and start something different out there and L.A., you know, time will tell. But I think he's going to L.A.
Hey, I got a question. Kevin Love is a loner by nature. He is just a guy who doesn't really like to be part of the group. He's not. And we've all played with guys like that. They're good guys. They're good teammates, but they just really don't want to be bothered with us. You understand what I'm saying? They really don't want to be bothered with us. You know, when it comes time to play, they show up, they do what they got to do, they're always available, they're great teammates, But we get in the locker room, they sit over there, they got the headphones on, or they sit over there, you try to talk to them, you crack a joke, they look at you like, what? So, and you didn't listen, just leave him alone, man. That's who he is. He don't really want to be bothered. He's not here for that. That's who Kevin Love is. Why do
I
we
got
keep
a question.
Saying LA? Why do we keep saying LA? Because, and I kind of think I know where you're going with this, because him and Kobe, if he can't get along with LeBron James, who wants to be his buddy, how the hell he going to get along with Kobe?
My thing is this, you know, and I'm going to answer the question and I'm going to let you respond. You know, I mean, there's something that needs to be said for a guy going back to where he, you know, had success. You know what I'm saying? He was the man at UCLA. We all seen the highlight clip. You all seen him play there, you know. And the number one team that honestly has been linked to Kevin Love, you know, has been the Los Angeles Lakers. And we all understand that Kobe's on his last hurrah. You know, on his way out of there, you know, the biggest issue that, you know, if you go back to when Dwight was there, you know, it was kind of like, you know, is the changing of the guard, is the laying down of the mantle going to go to Dwight Howard? Is it going to, you know, going to go to somebody else? I can honestly see a scenario where, yeah, he sits in the corner with his headphones on and just sat in third, and then Kobe passes the mantle to him. And then, you know, let's say, again, I'm kind of rolling further on the road. Let's say, you know, this upcoming summer, they end up getting, you know, Rusty Westbrook or another big-name free agent to come down there. You know, they could have a dynamic duo down there, and the Lakers can return to, you know, somewhat relevancy in the NBA. But that's why I'm thinking L.A. because it just makes the most sense. I don't see him going to Portland. I don't see him going anywhere else but to L.A.
And also, too, and then I'm going to really shut up real quick. Also, too, if you go and see the scenario that's playing out in the NBA right now, if Kevin Love does go to L.A., you know, if he deals with Kobe for a year, that's not going to be a bad thing, because the following year, a certain individual who I won't go and stick my finger in that pot because I have a feeling there's a dish about him or percolating in there that involves him, but a certain player that the Coyotes can't catch, that Acme can't build a trap for, could actually go and end up being in L.A. with them, and they've been wanting to play together for a long time. They're both from the area and been rumored to wanting to go and play in L.A. So I think Kevin Love can go and tolerate Kobe for a year until that certain individual ends up speeding down the street and ending up in L.A. somehow. We can tolerate it.
The interesting thing about that is Kevin Love has actually played ball with Kobe, and I know the different stage when they went out there 2012. Yeah, that was the year when they actually played in the Olympics. So it's not like him and Kobe couldn't actually coexist on the floor, but it'd be a different breed because this is Kobe's ship, and I think this will be the – well, everybody's mentioning this would be the farewell tour of the Kobe Bryant era. But I think Kobe would want to see this done the right way. So it'll be interesting to see if Kevin Love does take his acts or talents to L.A. or Hollywood or Tinseltown. Every people may paint this picture, but it's damaged goods, and they're already dealing with a damaged rookie with Julius Randle at the same position. So it depends on where they want to go with a guy with a separated shoulder or a guy with a torn ACL. So this is a very difficult situation for the Lakers. And it depends on if they keep some of the notable players there as well. Yes, Roy.
How about this, guys? I was going to throw this at Chandler because I know he's the resident, you know, Knicks man. How about Kevin Love to the New York Knicks or the Boston Celtics? Now, I get the whole Kelly Olynyk situation just occurred. I've considered Jared Sullinger like a poor man, you know, K-Love. Some of the things and abilities that he has are similar. His issues are also, you know, that he's injury-prone. He's dealing with a weight issue. But could you see Kevin Love going to a place like Boston, playing for Brad Stevens, or entertaining a proposal coming from Phil Jackson himself to be the centerpiece in which, well, not really the centerpiece, but a co-laborer with Carmelo Anthony for the triangle offense?
Him in Boston, more than him in New York. And can we stop saying he's from L.A.? He's from Portland. He's from
Portland. No, I said he was from Oregon.
Not you. Not you. I'm just saying that that's the current. Well, he's from L.A., so he'll go back to L.A. He's not from L.A. He's from Oregon. He grew up in Oregon. He's from Portland, Oregon, not L.A. He went to college in L.A., not from there. Boston makes more sense to Kevin Love on many levels. Kevin Love can now become your backup point guard. Jared Sullinger would make a great backup power forward or backup center.
Really?
Yeah, Jared Sullinger will make a great backup. He's not a starter. He's not. Brad Stevens is a very good coach, turning into a great coach. Seriously. And anybody who doesn't believe that just needs to watch that series against Cavaliers. Because that team was outclassed and outmanned, and they gave them everything they wanted every game, even though they got swept. They gave them everything they wanted every single game. He had a bunch
I told
of guys
you he would.
He had a bunch of guys who he knew. They knew damn near every night the other team on the court was better than them, and they fought like hell. That's a testament to the coach, right? So I can see Brad Stevens creating an environment where Kevin Love could do his solo act yet be part of. I can see that. Boston. He get his number retired in Boston. Seriously. They would start talking about him like Kevin McHale in Boston or Dave Cowens.
That makes sense.
So you think he could come there and uproot Olmec and Sellinger, where Sully has actually been doing work for the Celtics? I think Jared has actually been a notable starter for the Celtics team. If he could stay healthy, that is the one knock I have towards Jared Sullinger. But I don't think that they, you know, well, it depends. In looking at the scenario, Brad, you might fall in love with a guy like Kevin Love, but Sullinger does do work. I wouldn't want to see him come off the bench, or let alone Olmec. Olmec has actually made his way for this team, too.
Let me say this about Sullinger, Olmec, Tyler Zeller, Brandon Bass, Jonas Jerebko, their front court. Brother, these guys are playing because they have no one else.
Thank you.
That's the bottom line. These guys are getting on the court and they're getting caught. Let me tell you who played the most minutes for the Boston Celtics this past season. Brandon Bass, and he didn't start a game. Brandon Bass played the most minutes of every Boston Celtic, especially in the front court, but he's not a starter. Why did he play the most minutes? Because he was healthy, he was available, and he knows his role. And he's not complaining about coming off of the bench and just doing what he's asked to do by his head coach. Sullinger's issue is he could be a star power forward to some degree. And I don't mean like a bright star, but I'm talking about the guy who starts and you know he's going to give you, you know, 14-8 and, you know, a 3.5 each night. But as Taylor started to say, and you mentioned the injuries, he's not taking care of his body. He's not convinced that he has to shed even more pounds, okay? People remember when Charles Barkley came in the league as a round mound and rebound? He said one thing. He testifies all the time. He's always talking about how Moses Malone flat out told him, he said, "You fat," because he couldn't figure out why somebody else was starting in front of him even in his rookie year. He's like, "Because you fat." He had to lose weight. Barkley was at his best weight-wise and physical appearance and ability the year he won MVP. Actually started in 92 when he went to the Olympics with the Dream Team. He was shedding weight. But when you saw him in year one in that Phoenix Suns jersey and he won league MVP, he never looked more fit. He was never, you know, any more explosive or dominant from start to finish. And it wasn't just that regular season. Like, he dominated from summer to summer.
Yep.
Sullinger needs to do something like that if, as Danny Ainge even mentioned earlier today, if Sully wants to have a long career, he's got to take care of himself in terms of his body. If he's not going to address that issue, his career will be shortened, meaning no other team is really probably going to mess with him because – like, you get an opportunity to establish yourself in the league as a player in Boston right now. He's not really doing that.
You know what? And then you know who I think of when you're talking about and a guy who tried his best to stay in shape, and he failed a lot, but he stayed in the league a long time. Oliver Miller. Remember Oliver Miller? When he was in college, he weighed almost 400 pounds. There were years in the league where he was around 270. And then there was years where he was like 370. But everybody knew he was trying. So he stayed in the league a long time because he tried. Jared Sullinger doesn't try. That's why he's not a starter. He's a backup because you can't depend on him because he thinks he can eat anything he wants.
He thinks he can free.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. And the thing with Jared Sullinger, Jared Sullinger will be better if he stays in the league in his 10th season than he ever was in his first nine. Because you know what happens in your 10th season? You get in the late 30s, and you start realizing, damn, my knees hurt. My back hurt. I got to lose some weight. I'm breathing heavy going up the stairs. When the hell did that start? You understand what I'm saying? And that's when he's going to start taking care of his body. He's not doing it now. That's why he's not a starter. So, yes, Kevin Love goes there. He immediately displaces Jared. And listen, Jared Sullinger coming off your bench isn't a bad thing.
Exactly.
That's not a bad thing. Now, let me give you a rotation where you got Sullinger and Olenek. Even if Olenek either in the rotation or come up the bench, you got them two guys in your second unit. That's a very, very good second unit. So yes, Kevin Love, Boston, make it happen.
Okay, very interesting. Let me get away from this Kevin Love. You might be the steak of the day or something because these dudes are feasting on you. My first topic, I didn't even get away from you yet. The call-in number is 907-889-9592. Okay. Did I hear somebody else try to say something, or can I keep it moving?
I was just laughing. Go ahead, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay, now I got several different ways to go because I got a lot of topics. One, I got the Bucks on the break, and then Chandler said he has a special dish for the Bucks, so I think I get to leave him back there with Billy. The Clippers are on the break as well. And also, I want to ask a serious question here, and I'll come to you first, Sirius. Your thoughts on the Memphis Grizzlies. Are they for real this year, despite having Conley out? I don't know when he's able to be, but after that surgery, his eye is heavily swollen, and they're going to have to go with Calathes and Udry. And I know Chandler doesn't like Udry, but they've been able to side of the backcourt position and been able to try to work off the frontcourt. Do you think the Grizzlies are for real, or do you think the buck stops here in the second round up against the Warriors?
I think the buck stops in the second round up against the Warriors. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies are that team that, you know, if all pieces were there, it was very difficult to beat. You know, Conley gives them another added dimension that you have to account for. No disrespect to Tony Allen, no disrespect to Jeff Green, Udrys, or, you know, any of the other cats they try to bring in there and play ball at that position. But Mike Conley is an all-pro for a reason. He gives you another added dimension, again, that you have to account for. So it's unfortunate that, you know, he's going to miss this upcoming series against the Golden State Warriors. But I don't think that, you know, feeding Gasol and feeding Zebro is going to be able to, you know, really slow down the fast pace. You know, that's the type of a frenzy that the Golden State Warriors play with. Not to mention, they pretty much had a whole week off. So they're rested. They're ready to go. It's going to be one hell of a series. But at the end of the day, I think Golden State is going to be too much. I don't care who you have, you know, in your backcourt, you know, trying to check Steph Curry without, you know, a premier defensive defender like a Conley. That's one of the big, many things that is missed when you start looking at Mike Conley, is the fact that he plays exceptional defense. It's going to be a problem for them to try to deal with Golden State.
Royce, how about you? Do you believe in the Grizzlies? Do you think Mark and Z-Bo could carry this team? And this is an interesting situation because I actually had a strong debate. This is outside of the kitchen, even though, like, some notable people I know here we're actually in the midst of it. I don't believe in Bogan. I'm sorry. And I think either Mark or Z-Bo can have, even if they switch, get caught in the screen and the paint, I still think he can get in foul trouble. And the people behind Bogan are just basically at a standstill situation as the guards that are going to be trying to guard Steph and Clay. So it's interesting in the backcourt for the Warriors. It's interesting in the front court for the Grizzlies. Your thoughts on the Grizzlies moving forward? Can they be this team that's for real in this second round?
No. Klay Thompson is averaging basically 31 points on 62% shooting against the Memphis Grizzlies. Nikolaitis, Beno Udrih cannot stop Steph and Klay. No Mike Conley. You can turn up your defense. You can put bigger guys on Nikolaitis and Beno. They're not guys that are going to really give you offense on a consistent basis. I mean, they're just not good enough. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but they're just not good enough. You know, Tony Allen, Jeff Green, whoever, look, they're going to do what they do in terms of attempting to try to, you know, guard. But, again, same thing we said in Series 1 when it came to the Warriors and the Pelicans. Too many weapons. That's it. Bottom line, you are outmanned and outgunned at this point. If you don't have Mike Conley, you are already, for the most part, still outmanned and outgunned. You are just going to have an advantage in the grindhouse to a certain degree because in postseason, we know they have a big-time winning record in the grindhouse. But on the road, you guys are sub 500. They struggle on the road. Well, four games are going to be played in the Bay Area. I don't see you winning one. So I don't care if it goes four or if it goes seven. Golden State will advance. The best thing, honestly, Mike Conley could do is not try to be a hero, not think that really if he plays, he could get this team past Golden State and they could go to the finals and would win the championship. Nah, bro, take care of your face. The doc said 4 to 6 weeks. Let it be 4 to 6 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to put no mask on. Nah. Be smart. Get your money. Be smart. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else.
Okay, Chandler. Well, before I get to you, we do have a caller in queue calling in by way of the state of Florida. Mr. Overland, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling all right, man. I'm over here at the draft party at Dolphin Stadium. A little disappointed that Tampa Bay went with the date rape dude, Jameis Winston, but que sera, sera. Tampa Bay is always going to be destined for futility. This is an NBA show, and I'm coming for you, Ty. I know you are a staunch supporter of the Oklahoma City Thunder, so my call and my take involves, first of all, your opinions on getting the Gator, Billy Donovan, and secondly, and more importantly, what do you think about the fact that down here the big news is not about Kevin Love, some sloppy white dude, who's really a scrub, but you guys are debating if he's good or not. It's not about LeBron James, who took his talents to an owner that hated him and kept an email and letter, vicious letter up for years, but it's about your boy and a guy I've met, Kevin Durant, taking his talents down to South Beach and jumping ship from OKC. So I'm going to end it there, but I want your take on that because I know if you put D-Wade, Goran Dragic, my boy Hassan Whiteside, who came out of nowhere, Cinderella story, if any of you can make the reference to Caddyshack. And I like my Heat's chances, dude. They're coming back, and they're going to come back even stronger. And if we get KD, it's a wrap, kid. It's a wrap. So you can talk all you want about Cleveland. You can talk about L.A. and Kobe and his bitch-ass self. But what it comes down to is the Heat is coming. And Riles is going to make sure about that. So what's your take, brother?
Okay, interesting enough, I got the Billy Donovan play on schedule, so I guess you threw it right out there. You put your hand all in the pot.
Saw that coming.
This is tough for me for the Billy Donovan situation. And like I said, Sports City, I'm going to speak on it, so I guess he actually put me in front of the dish. I got to eat it. This is tough for me to say it right now. Sports City, this is the beginning of the end in Oklahoma City. I think with Presti making this move right now, getting rid of Scott Brooks and going to the college ranks to get Billy Donovan, who has not coached a game in the NBA ranks. I mean, he has NBA, tutelage, if you will. He played a season with the Knicks back in the late 80s. But other than that, I mean, he played around with it, trying to come to Orlando, backed away from it. And his only success was with one group of kids in 2006, 2007, when Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Torius Green, I can think of that backcourt. I mean, everybody was playing well. And since then, I mean, Florida is always a tough team to go up against, but people figure them out. Now, you're getting a bunch of young men that actually grew up getting away from the college ranks. They're men now, and they're going to have to listen to another college coach come around that actually favors a guy in Sam Presti, who Sam Presti actually got rid of a lot of these guys' friends, i.e. Jeff Green, i.e. James Harden. The list goes on and on of the names that they got rid of, including Reggie Jackson. So this is actually very tough for me to think of if these guys buy into what Billy Donovan is preaching and if they stay there. So if not both, I know one of them will leave. I don't know if it's Durant, because I think if Oklahoma City's smart, they hang on to Durant, to throw the house, the farm, whatever they have down there in Oklahoma. I've never been to Oklahoma, but I'm trying to get to OKC. But whatever they got down there, they need to throw it to him, because I think Durant's longevity of his style of play will carry longer than Russell's style of play. Russ can't continue to run as fast as he can, jump as high as he can, and knock down jumpers for the rest of his career. I think Russ has at least 6 or 7 years left of that style of basketball in him. Then after that, it's going to be like whatever.
See, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade will be done in about 2 or 3 years, to be honest. To be honest, I don't know. So that right there, I think you get the womp trying to hang on to Dwayne Wade and trying to make a difference, because Wade's body is breaking down on him now. And he's still trying to shoulder the load. And that would be nice for him to get another three to, try and help him get to the postseason and help him get another championship at the end of the day. But I only see 2 or 3 years tops in Dwayne Wade. But I think by the move of Billy Donovan going to the Thunder, I think this is the beginning of the end to everything that's going on in Oklahoma City. I think either Kevin Durant or Russ may end up leaving, or you might see other pieces like Serge leave or something. This could get interesting. And, Pressy, you are going to have your hands full at the end of the day. I'll throw this around the kitchen, see how the guys feel about it. Slim, I'll go to you first and then throw this around the kitchen. Your thoughts on what Eric has actually addressed with the Donovan signing, and also the pieces that come alongside with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you think these guys stay or go, or how do you see this situation setting up?
Oh, no, that's you guys, man. I'm going to hang up, but thanks for the take, Ty.
No doubt, definitely.
All right, man. Much love, brother. I'll chime in later.
Okay.
All right, kid.
So Slim, your thoughts on the question at hand with the Billy Donovan situation, since we're fresh at this right now, and do you think that the core pieces of the Thunder stay or go, or how do you think this thing pans out?
Well, this is what we talked about last week. You know, we had a really good conversation about this situation last week. And I think we covered all angles at the end of the show, ended up extending the show covering it. It was just a matter of who Sam Presti was going to get to go and be coach. And that was the first domino to fall. And maybe you were going to go and see the rest of the domino rally go and tip over. And the first domino that fell was, I'm going to hire Billy Donovan. That lets me know right there, Sam Presti's really thinking about 2 years from now, 3 years from now. He's not, I mean, if he ends up winning a Humbug Championship next year with Kevin Durant, you know, coming back with a healthy foot, then great. If not, that's a trading chip. That's a commodity right about now. He's looking at his team and looking at contracts, and he's seeing trade bait all over his squad. He's got Kevin Durant's contract 2016. He's got Westbrook's 2017. I looked up Anthony Morrow's contract is up in 2017. I want to say Ibaka's contract is also going to be up. Nick Collison, he's going to be in a position to tear it down and rebuild it. And he's not really thinking that he's going to go and get a championship with Westbrook or Durant for whatever reason, you know, in the next year or so, which I think is completely crazy. If he thought he was, he would have gone and made a run at Tom Thibodeau like Royce Whitten brought up last week. Or he would have made a run at Mark Jackson. I think this is pretty much playing out like we feared when it came to Oklahoma City getting rid of Scott Brooks, who the majority of the kitchen felt kind of got a raw deal in his pink slip, but he really got his pink slip over his body of work and not so much for this year. So this is the scenario now. You don't go – look at what Boston did. You go get Brad Stevens out of Butler, you done torn it down and rebuilt it. You tore it down to the foundation, and you're building your squad all over again. You don't think Sam Presti's about to go and do that with Billy Donovan at the helm right now? Man, once you go and get the college coach, you're changing your philosophy. You're changing everything. He's about to go and strip this house down to the frame and redo everything. So that's my take on it. Billy Donovan – pretty much is a sign of the Oklahoma City apocalypse, and hopefully Sam Presti's ego knows what he's doing, because he's about to go and lose some. He's about to lose two of the best players in the world in the next 3-4 years, and that's a shame.
Okay, Sirius, your thoughts on the Billy Donovan situation, and I don't know if anybody agrees if KD's going to Miami. Unless people feel differently, then let me know. But your thoughts on the Billy Donovan signing?
You know, man, when I got the news, you know, that Billy Donovan was going to be OKC head coach, you know, we sat here on this very show last week and weeks before and said, you know, we wouldn't know what OKC was going to do by the coach they signed. And so, again, you know, with them getting Billy Donovan, Kevin Durant is gone, Westbrook is gone, the OKC Thunder as we know it is about to end. So, as a Rockets fan, I love it, you know, as you know, the founder and card carrying member of the OKC Hate Club, I love it as well. But, you know, in all seriousness, I'm not too sure if I agree with this move. I really don't, you know. You really have to try to keep, you know, your core there. Again, Ty, you and I have spoke about this at length on air, off air, you know, on Facebook, you know, whatever, about the importance to keep that core there, you know. And with this move, there's no way a snowball chance in hell unless they luck up and win the championship next year. To which, you know, you can all donate to the Sirius Funeral Fund because I'm going to kill myself if that happens. But unless that happens, I don't see any way that Kevin Durant is staying there. I don't see any way that Russ Westbrook is staying there, you know, after his contract is up. So I don't like the move. I honestly don't. I really don't. You know, as an NBA fan, I don't like the move. I don't think it's the right fit. I don't like the fact that you know, Sam Presti is once again not listening to, you know, his fans, not listening to his players. I have a hard time believing that, you know, you sat down with Russ Westbrook and Kevin Durant prior to making this decision and they said, okay, yeah, go ahead and go get this guy. I have a hard time believing that, you know, and that you know, when you have that type of a talent on your roster, you really have to, you know, sit them down, you know, not so much get their stamp of approval, but kind of take the temperature of the players involved and say, hey, I'm thinking of bringing this guy. Do you think this would be a good fit for our organization? Can you work with this guy? Can you sit down and, you know, take tutelage and teaching, you know, from this caliber of a coach? And I have a hard time believing that both these men sat down with their ownership and was like, yeah, go ahead, bring in this guy, you know, the guy who, you know, didn't really do well as a player in the NBA, kind of left his team high and dry when he was a member of the Orlando Magic and this, that, and the third. I have a hard time believing that. So it's not a good look if you're OKC.
Okay, let me throw this to Chandler. Chandler, your thoughts on the Billy Donovan situation? I know we spoke about this, but here's your time in the kitchen to talk about it. Presti, if this doesn't work out, is this job in jeopardy? Do you think the front office will look at him like that? Or, I mean, do you think this team stays intact, buy into the Billy Donovan situation, the end-all situation for the Thunder moving forward with their new head coach, Billy Donovan?
First, did that gentleman just say Hassan Whiteside and act like Hassan Whiteside is actually going to be in the league past next season?
Yes, he did. I heard that.
Hassan Whiteside will be back playing overseas by the middle of next year. Be clear on that. Okay? He's a flash in the pan. Is what it is. Guys come in, they have a decent season. Jeremy Tyler, anyone? Anybody remember Jeremy Tyler? Royce, I know you remember. Remember Jeremy Tyler?
Yeah.
He's going to be a great Knicks big man. Where's he playing at now? Korea?
Yeah, somewhere. Not in the NBA. NBA.
Hassan Whiteside, get ready to get on that. Get on the airplane. Matter of fact, I'm going to help you pay for your ticket. Durant's not going to the freaking Miami Heat. Sam Presti will be fired by year 4. Billy Donovan should be fired by year 3, but because Presti is going to refuse to admit he made a mistake, Presti will be fired year 4, Donovan will be fired year 5. This is a bad move. Listen, I remember when I'm old. I'm in a Chinese place that they do talk about, I'll be 70 soon. He reminded me I'm going to be 50 soon. Okay? Real soon. I remember Billy Donovan sitting on the Knicks bench. And I was a kid from Brooklyn. I was always small and undersized, so I always rooted for the cat at the end of the bench. I rooted for the Glenn Gondrezics, the Billy Donovans. I rooted for those guys because they were like me, and nobody thought they were any good. Nobody thought they could play, you know, and we had to work harder, you know, do more so that we could get on the floor. Billy Donovan is a great college coach. He's not an NBA coach. If you hire him, you are doing a total rebuild.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder right now, for next season, are not $8 million, like I told you when we was all on the phone. They're $11 million over the cap for next season, right now. Which says to me, you got to get rid of some players. Nick Collison, Slim, you brought him up. Yeah, Nick Collison has played. Was that you or Royce?
No, that was me.
All right. Nick Collison has played his last game as the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's done. He's gone. Because they have to get under the salary cap. They're not going to pay a penalty. Russell Westbrook will be traded for draft picks and some, you know, good players, but not great, because you're never going to get equal. Tell me who you could get equal value for Russell Westbrook and still be under the salary cap. And by the end of the show, if somebody comes up with a name, let me know. So Russell Westbrook's traded. Kevin Durant, they will, in the media, put out that we offered him the moon, the stars, and the heavens, and he left us. He left us, that terrible guy. Kevin Durant would be paid as the bad guy. He was chasing money. They're not going to offer him any money, but they'll say they did. and most fans will buy it because ESPN will promulgate it, and he'll be viewed as this selfish guy. Oh, he's not nice, because they've already begun the demonization of Kevin Durant, as we all know. They've already begun that. You know, Oklahoma City started, and it's now spread nationally with his comments about the media, you're not really my friends. Oh, what's wrong with Kevin Durant? He's a bad guy now. It's funny how things work. See, the NBA is a business. And this is what businesses do when they want to get rid of you. It's what the military does when it wants to get rid of you. This is what corporations do. All of us who've been in the military or worked for big companies, we're familiar with this. How many guys, all of us here, have jobs? Company wants to get rid of a guy. All of a sudden, you start hearing all these negative things about him. You're like, man, that dude's a really good guy. And all of a sudden, he's terrible. He's always late. Dude parks in my spot. He's stealing food out the doggone cafeteria. You name it, you suddenly start hearing everything about him. Am I lying? Am I lying? You can tell who's going to be fired.
Not at all.
Bad-mouthing him. They start bad-mouthing him. Well, he's getting fired. Everybody talking about him. Yeah, he's gone. They started it with Kevin Durant. He's about to get fired. And the NBA is called, you know, you lead by free agency. But basically, you've been fired. This is a rebuild. And it's a bad rebuild because you have the players, mind you. This team is more talented than the team that went to the NBA Finals.
Yes,
it is. Presently constructed, it is more talented. They have interior players who actually can play on the block and score. I know Kendrick Perkins would dunk every so often, but let's be honest. It is Kendrick Perkins' lunch. Let's be honest. That kid Steven Adams can score. This team is more talented, except for Reggie Jackson. We're not going to get into Deion Waiters thing. I'm not touching that because I'll be on that for the next 10 years. Anyway.
Wait. You don't like Reggie Jackson? Reggie Jackson can't score? That's what you're telling me?
Reggie Jackson should have stayed. Deion Waiters should not be there.
Okay. Just make sure I got that right. Because Royce messed up everything with that. It's all Royce's fault.
No, that's Sam Preston. Royce just saw it coming. All right?
About two years ago, too.
I said something. It was Royce that said it. I forget what you said because I know concussions. It was something you gave me credit for. It was Royce that actually brought it up earlier. I forget what it is, but it was Royce that said it. That's all I remember about it. it is what it is, man. I'm old. Sam Presti thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. I've worked with those guys. They get everybody fired, and then they get fired. Sam Presti's about to run this franchise into the ground because he wants to prove he's smarter than everybody. Here's my last statement on this. How many executives from the San Antonio Spurs have left to go to other organizations besides Sam Presti?
Danny Ferry.
Oh, yeah, Ferry. Yeah, that's right. Ferry did leave.
And how did that work out for Danny Ferry?
Not too good until this year.
Well, there's a reason San Antonio lets those guys go.
Thank you.
There's a reason.
Well, Royce, I'll let you add on to that situation. Your thoughts on the Billy Donovan situation and the turnover that Chandler's throwing out there right now about Presti. And I still can't stand you on the Reggie Jackson situation, but your thoughts are on everything that's being dismantled, or if they keep this team intact as it is, they just need the right man to lead the ship, if you will.
Well, you're not really going to like anything I probably have to say by the time I finish, because I'm a dismantle, disassemble, break down, discard, and distribute everybody of significant value that wore an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform and made an impact on us as fans in the last, 4 years as a Thunder player. Billy Donovan coming to the NBA and, to the Thunder in particular, as everybody said, is just a signal that transition is confirmed. It's not just beginning. It started to begin when they decided to keep Ibaka over Harden. When they decided not to trade for you know, the necessary missing pieces that were available via veterans who could have, you know, took a minimum. You could have went out and got guys like a Vince Carter or other players who found ways to just try to contribute to other teams, you know, for, you know, lesser money, because they were understanding, they knew how to win, they had been star players, they understood their body and how to make key contributions when called upon and answer the bell when it rings. Instead, Sam Presti put together and stockpiled a lot of young talent that would just leave you your mouth watering. Like, man, this guy could be good. Man, if Perry Jones pans out, or, oh, if Jeremy Lamb pans out, oh, boy, what if Mitch McGarry pans out? It's not panning out. It's not working. But Sam Presti is who he is. I give him credit. Like, yo, he's got an eye for talent. He's good at drafting. At this point, what he wants now is a college coach who can handle the college players he will be drafting, that will play hard, and that'll be it. I mean, look, they made their run to the finals. They'll probably not make another run again unless they do it all next season in year one. If that happens, okay, cool. But if not, I said it before. I think I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. I think I said it last year. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA's new Los Angeles Clippers. What I mean by that is the old Los Angeles Clippers would take loss after loss, season after season, draft some of the most talented players coming out year after year, play them on rookie-scale contracts, and then ship them off around the league so they could go on and blossom and become stars and get their, you know, their multi-year deals and make their money. With OKC is you had the type of talent that, again, they were hungry, they wanted to win, they came together, guys bonded, they put in their work, they beat the learning curve, and they really pretty much took the league by storm, shocked everybody. But the plan is in place. Presti's going to draft. They're going to develop. And when it's time to pay them, you got to go somewhere else to get your money, because we are not opening up our checkbooks, period. You know, we're going to run it off of the bare minimum, because why? They're still in Oklahoma City. It's not a major metro. So it's going to be what it's going to be. Whatever happens next year, I don't really care. But what's going to happen after that? In the summer of 2016, and I've got, like, some conflicting information. I mean, everybody's talking about Kevin Durant being available in 2016. I mean, he's at the top of the list. But I'm not – it's confusing. Maybe Westbrook's available summer 16, but it's looking more like maybe summer 17.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, if what Chandler said, if they trade Russell, okay, where do you trade him to? Kevin can walk. Kevin's going to walk because he's going to get max money. The league is going to take care of Kevin. Kevin must be a star because he's already been tagged as a superstar in the league. And so when I put on my cap and I start thinking about where Kevin would be and what the NBA wants to probably have more of, I see it as a throwback in its own way in this new era. Still try to grab, you know, rivalries, individual player rivalries, bring back some team rivalries if possible. The only difference is Cleveland was really not a significant team, and, you know, for anybody's real rival, because they didn't really have a great individual player back in the day. But you have LeBron James. And who's LeBron's rival at this point? It's Kevin Durant and no one else, period. So do you get them in opposite conferences and try to get to just the finals? Or do you get more money and increase the ratings and get Kevin Durant in the Eastern Conference and put him in a situation where he's going to play LeBron 3 to 4 times in a regular season and possible first, second, or Eastern Conference finals matchup? Kind of going back to when you used to have Doc and Bird
in Boston and Philly. Then you had a decent Milwaukee Bucks team occasionally that would, you know, try to throw their hat in there, but it was Boston and Philly in the 80s going out to play the Lakers. Again, I'm sounding like a homer, but who's got more money in the Eastern Conference than the Philadelphia 76ers and draft picks? I mean, I know it's funny. It's really, really funny, but when you look at that roster, get to a depth chart and look at the players on the depth chart and find the teams that are lacking significant star power on the perimeter. Those are potential landing spots for guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
Hey, Royce, and the thing with Philly, and we brought this up with the Kobe Bryant thing, Philly can package picks for the next 5 years and talent.
Yeah.
So the thing with Philly, you're absolutely right. Now, I see him going to Washington, but Philly's a good fit as well. But because Philly can send players back to Oklahoma City that the fans out there can fall in love with, and what will they all be in their first or second year?
Right. They're college players. They're essentially college players in the NBA getting paychecks. And the only reason why I won't call out his hometown team in Washington is because they have stars on the perimeter, John Wall and Bradley Beal. So until one of two of those guys significantly falls off due to some type of injury where Washington says, now we got to go in a completely different direction, I mean, they don't really need what Kevin does. They need bigs. Philly has Nerlens Noel, maybe Joel Embiid. You probably keep them. But on the perimeter, you don't have anyone significant. You don't have a point guard. You don't have a two. You don't have a three. Period. Kevin Durant has shown when he won league MVP in the year before that hey, he can handle the ball and get you 300 to 500 assists as well as get his rebounds and get his points. Franchise player. Philly needs a franchise player on the perimeter. So does the Boston Celtics. Like certain teams, it's a business. The flagship in the West is the Lakers. The flagship in the East, the Boston Celtics. Everybody else, get in where you fit in. Chicago looks straight. Does he go to Chicago and play for who? Play for who? Who's going to be the head coach? Who's going to lead?
And you know what, Royce? The fit personality-wise with Kevin Love and Kevin Durant, which I never even put them two together, that is actually a perfect fit. Kevin Love is a loner. Kevin Durant is a guy who just, you know what, he floats through, listen, be you, I'm going to be me. I don't need to be the star. I know I am a star, but I don't need all the hype that comes with it, so if you get it, I'm fine with it. Those two, in reality, are a better fit than Kevin Love and LeBron.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that.
So are we saying that there's going to be – does the crystal ball basically say that there's a possibility in this world that Kevin Love and Kevin Durant could go and join up in Boston? Let's put it on the record now, because you guys have convinced me Boston got enough cash. Philly is going to have enough cash. I feel like Boston would be the prime ticket for those two to be together, and it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Are we going to go on the record and just put that out there?
You know what?
So when ESPN goes and says it, everybody in the kitchen could be like, oh, wait. We know we heard that first.
You know what?
I'm co-signing that. I'm with you.
I'm saying. Because you know what? When Roy started talking about that, man, I'm like, you know what?
That makes sense. It really does.
The coach fits Kevin Durant. It's the coach who preaches defense. We play together. We play hard. That's all Kevin Durant wants.
Yep.
Who you play for at Texas? Rick Barnes. What did Rick Barnes preach? We play defense, we play together, we play hard. He's going to a city that will love him because he's unassuming. They will love him. He will be a god. in the New England area. And Ty, you know this. In New England, they will be erecting statues of Kevin Durant. Okay? Larry Bird just walked back through the door.
Compare Durant to Larry Bird, Chandler, by the way.
Chandler, peep this, though. Peep this, y'all. Peep this. I'm getting sentimental now. Who's the last Boston Celtic of significance to wear the number 35?
Reggie
Lewis. Come on, boy.
Who?
Reggie Lewis.
Reggie Lewis.
Oh, man.
He had a heart attack on the floor.
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Now, think
about
the body type. Think about the body type. Think about the release of the jump shot. He not the same height, but damn, man, if in your mind's eye it was kind of cloudy, don't he damn near look like Kevin Durant?
They're the same player.
Come on, man.
They're the same person. Not only same, they're the same person. Because Reggie Lewis is
a scoring machine. He's just a doper scorer.
But the personality, Reggie Lewis was a guy who didn't need to be a star, even though he was. He didn't care. If you took 20 shots and he took 3, he was good. If he took 30 and you took 2, he was good. However it went down, as long as the team won, that's all he cared about. They're the same person. Damn. I did not. Wow. You know what? Yeah. You know what, Royce?
Yeah.
Boston Philly making a comeback, man. Because Dr. J is more involved. Like, the Philadelphia 76ers as an organization have made significant strides to try to get their stars to come back to be involved and right the shit and turn this thing around, because it's been too much losing too long. The Philadelphia 76ers have not really competed for a championship since, what, 2001, right? But the last time they won a championship was in 83. Now, what Allen Iverson and Larry Brown got done in 2001, maybe you throw in Dikembe Mutombo because he's got significant name value for his defense. But you got to realize that was almost like an anomaly of a season, because you're talking about a 6'1", 2-guard carry, the freaking franchise. And that franchise won every major award except for the NBA championship that year. So you're talking about a major drought. You're talking about a major drought for one of the league's winningest franchises. See, when people talk about winning franchise in the NBA since its inception, you know, people run past Philly.
No, I don't.
They run past it. But you can't skip over them, man. They right there. They right there after
Boston
and your L.A.s. Before Mike ran off 6, Philly was the other team behind Boston and L.A.
Yeah, they were.
You know
what I mean? I remember Andrew Tony, Mo Cheeks, Moses Malone.
Come on, man. Don't talk about the Strangler like that.
Mark Iveroni.
Tony, the Boston Strangler, the only dude that could go in the Boston Garden and kill no matter what.
Look, Bobby Jones. You can go back to – they wouldn't be a team in Golden State if it wasn't for Philadelphia.
That's right.
Remember the Philadelphia Warriors?
Yeah, they're the ones that moved out there.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. So when cats look at the history, you got to look at what did the Warriors do, the Philly Warriors. The Philly Warriors became the Golden State Warriors, you know what I'm saying? Just like the Seattle Supersonics became the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, I mean, like, you know, history, it travels. What's on the books is on the books. So, you know, the league don't forget, man, they flagship franchises and the guys who, you know, they built their brand on. It's just a matter of you waiting for talent, and then how do you disperse it at the right time across the league so it gives them what they want? Parity.
Yeah, and Milwaukee's good now. So you know
you don't need to send Kevin or Russell to Milwaukee, because you got Jabari Parker, Giannis, MCW, you know what I mean? John Henson. You got about
great.
3 or 4 guys that could be stars on the perimeter, and then one guy in the paint.
And people don't realize that for years, and I mean years, it was Milwaukee and Philly in the playoffs every year. Milwaukee would play Philly and would lose. and Philly would go on. Milwaukee would get the playoffs. It's like Memphis is saying in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Then the Bucks would have the best team going. They play Philly and lose.
Hey, man. People don't remember Sidney Moncrief, Paul Presley,
Alvin Robinson,
Terry Cummings. What's my boy? They used to play at UCLA in college. Marcus Johnson. Sigma.
Sid the Squid.
Yeah. Battles, man. All right, but we done went down memory lane, gave these boys an education. Let's come back to 2015.
Okay, these dudes are eating. We are at the end, but I did want to get situations on the Clippers on the brink as well as the Bucks on the brink, and I know Chandler brought a dish for someone in the kitchen today about the Bucks situation. So, Chandler, I'll let you address that first, and then we'll get moving on both of these teams on how people feel the Bucks can hang on or if the Clippers can hang on tonight.
The Bucks are done. The Bucks are done.
111-63 with 2 minutes left? Yeah, it's a wrap.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that they did. Here's what happens when you're not supposed to win. When you win the first game you're not supposed to win, you're playing with house money. You win the second game you're not supposed to win, it's love. The third game, you're under pressure now. You're supposed to win this game. You're supposed to tie it up. That's when the pressure hits. I love what Milwaukee did. Thank you, Elise, for making me look halfway like I know the hell I'm talking about Milwaukee, because everybody else got swept.
Boy.
Everybody else got swept. At least Milwaukee showed up. White. At least they showed up. But as far as Memphis goes, for me, and that's I think what we were talking about before we got sidetracked with the whole Kevin Durant
thing.
Mike Conley being out, I did not realize, and we've all had a guy, or we've been that guy, that played against somebody better than us, and we could just D him up. He could be taller, stronger, faster, jump higher, all of that, get all the girls, all that. But well, we could D him up. What none he could do against us, we had him. And we all had a guy that did that to us, all right? Dude was like 4 foot tall, 12 feet wide, breathing heavy, couldn't even run, but somehow he always blocked your shot. You see what I'm saying? Mike Conley is that guy for Damian Lillard. Mike Conley would be that guy in the next round, I think, for Steph Curry. Mike Conley is far better than I realized. And I've always liked Mike Conley. I did not know he was this damn good. I really didn't. I really honestly didn't. When we start talking top 10 point guards, by the time we mention Mike Conley, I think we're probably on number 25. Mike Conley is a top 5 point guard in this league. Top 5. When I say point guard, I'm not talking about a guy who scores a bunch of points as that position has become. I'm talking the purest form of the point guard. Mike Conley is top 5. He's top 5. Without him, I don't see Memphis getting out of the second round. With him, I see Memphis beating Golden State. I really do.
Thank you.
I really
Thank
do.
You.
I really
Thank
do.
You.
Mike Conley's for real, man. And who else was it, Ty? Let me see what we did. Memphis, the Nets suck. Mark Cuban, I'm glad your team lost. You're a bum. That's and you know what? Rajon Rondo quit on the team, but really? You gave Josh Howard playoff shares, and he smoked it. He smoked your team out of the playoffs Okay? He was sitting up there with the bong and kept your team from advancing the playoffs, and you gave him a playoff share. Okay? But Rajon can't get one? Josh Howard's like 500 pounds now, sitting around with a bag of Doritos and a 2-liter Coke, going, so, man, I sure meant to be out playing the NBA. All right? But Rajon Rondo couldn't get a playoff share. Mark Cuban, everything that's about to happen to your franchise, you deserve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, Clubs and Coach off of each of you. And your thoughts, at least on the game tonight, do the Clippers hang on or do the Spurs eliminate these guys? And I'm going to admit right now, I thought that this could be the year for CP3. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I need plugs to close out from each of you. Your thoughts on how this game six situation should turn out. I'll start with you first, Slim Jim. Your thoughts on how this situation will pan out.
Man, well, I have San Antonio from jump, so basically I don't trust the Clippers to come back. So San Antonio's going to handle the business, and that series over. I want to go and chime in. I'm not even going to go and plug the website or anything because you already know the drill. I got to go and say something about that Warriors series real quick, and I'm going to shut up. I have Memphis winning the West. I really, truly did. I did not think the Warriors were going to win this series at all until Mike Conley got hurt. Man, it's just like when we were talking about Kyle Lowry last week with Toronto, man. If he don't bring it, he's the heartbeat of the team. If he don't bring it, you're going to get your ass swept. Memphis, they're going to win a game because they got the size and the paint, but you needed the heartbeat. You can't win without you can't live without a heartbeat. They needed Mike Conley. And he was going to be the X factor that was going to get them past the Warriors. Without him, they can't keep up. He sets the table for them dudes, man. He really truly does. Oh, man, Calathes and Beno, nah, dude, that's not enough. That's just simply not enough at the point. I need my table setter. I need the continuity of my offense. And Mike Conley is the glue. Period. It's just, man, Warriors got that in five, maybe six. It's done. That injury hurt. That's the biggest injury of the playoffs. I don't care what anybody says. And the Clipper thing, you asked about the Clippers. Clippers are bait. It's a wrap. That's all I got to say. I know we're trying to wrap up.
Okay. Sirius, your thoughts on how things pan out with the team that you share Texas with? Flaws, close out, anything that you like to promote? Anything else that you like to throw out at the kitchen also?
You know, man, like I said when we broke down that series against the Portland Trail Blazers about Mike Conley, man, you know, again, my man hit the nail on the head. Obviously, fuckers, it's going to be an interesting series. But again, they don't have the horses to deal with that backcourt. So again, I for those predictions, you know, I'm gonna hold on my predictions. I believe that we'll get into that later on. You know, early next week as the series comes on. But you know, just to flip the thought a little bit, I'm along the lines of what my man just said. You know, five, maybe six. But we'll talk about that as the season gets on. Little shout out to everybody who came on the show. You know, my homegirl Jess listening in, Wayne's bro, lovely girl. I'll let you in a little bitch. Stay by your phone. You know, man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be here with you all on another edition of the Crossover Cafe. Definitely check out the website, www.sportsmediashop.com. We are on Facebook, we're on Twitter. I need to get my time about this Instagram jump off, man. Also, shout out to my man Chandler, baseball show, doing big things. B, huge doing the football show. Man, we're doing some big things here in Sports City, so definitely check that out. All topic NFL draft is bananas right now. I can't believe Todd Gurley went that high enough to the Rams, but that's another conference for another day. Man, it's your boy, Chiz, man. Hopefully, we'll be in this building tomorrow. Roundtable and recapping some stuff, man. Shout out to the Clippers tonight, man. I got the Clippers forcing the game seven. Yeah, I got the Clippers forcing the game seven. My mom needs some more refs, so I got the Clippers forcing the game seven tonight. San Antonio won it in seven, but I got the Clippers won tonight, man. It's your boy Sears, man. I'm gone, man. Y'all be easy.
I'm not the only one pulling for LA. See? CP3, you better get it together, man. You better get it together. Look, seriously, you said it too. This is crazy. Okay, Mr. King, I need to close out anything that you'd like to add on to. Anything that you'd like to add on to at the end of this show, Mr. King?
man, you know, I got to address this Clippers-Spurs situation. I got to remind everybody, it really should be Clippers 3-2 right now. You did see the game, right? You did see Blake Griffin's basket was going in. You did see that the referee took that basket away, right? You do recognize that. So whether it's 3-2 Spurs, Clippers right now or not, I'm still sticking with the Clippers. The only reason the Clippers do not advance is Chris Paul does teenage point production. In every game, Chris Paul does teenage point production. 19 is still a teenage number. 19. If he do 19 and 10, 19 and 12, they lose. Chris Paul must. He absolutely must do 26 to 30 points a game minimum for the Clippers to win in advance. I'm saying Chris Paul gets the memo that he drops 26 to 36 points tonight with the assist. He's aggressive. They force a game seven. They go home. He reads the box scores from the previous six games, and he realizes, well, damn. When I score 26 or more, we win. I got to go get 30. Clippers, man. Round two. Watch and see. That's my plug. I'm going.
Whoa. look, I'm not the only one going with the Clippers. Whoa, man. Okay. Okay,
I'm about to be
from my island. Buckle up. This is going to get hectic. Let me see if Chandler, you got up your sleeve. Give me plug clothes on and how you see this game six panning out. Is it the Claw and the Spurs, or is it CP3 and the red, white, and the blue Clippers?
First off, he touched the ball, Royce. Stop. You see, this is the problem with the Clippers. Everybody, the referee. The Clippers are not mentally tough. Doc Rivers ain't won a championship since Tom Thibodeau left his team. His team's a weak mentally, just like Doc was mentally. I ain't forgot the fact that you let my team down, Doc. I ain't forgot the fact you let the Knicks down. Can't stand you. Anyway, I got the Spurs in this series because the Spurs are mentally tough and the Clippers are mentally weak. What else was it? That's it. Man, I'm tired of getting old. I had a lot of fun. I had all this stuff to say and it just left my brain. I had a lot of fun tonight, man. I caught myself dropping the mic and trying to mute the phone call and ended the phone call. It's been a hectic night. I was gonna be cool and just hit mute and I hit the end button. But it's just fun, man. It is what it is, man. You know, you think you're all cool, you might say, I'm going to hit the mute button. Yeah, that's not how it went down.
That's not how it went down.
Oh, I remember what I needed to say. Mrs. Powell, I know you listen to the shows, even though your son doesn't think you do. I know you do, because you're a good mom. You love your son. You support him, even when he doesn't realize it. I think you need to go outside his head because he is not taking food out when he goes to work in the morning. He's eating too much fast food because he doesn't want to defrost food so that he can cook it when he gets home. He don't have time. He ain't got time to cook healthy meals. Really? He don't have time to cook healthy meals? I think we all need to go outside his head, but I'll let you start. You thought I was going to forget that one, didn't you, Ty? I'm not. I told you I was going to tell your mother one. Always a lot of fun. Everybody, thanks for coming. I didn't catch the name of the cat from Miami, but let me say this again. There's no way in hell, no way on God's green earth, no way in the universe. You pick the phrase you want to use that Kevin Durant plays in Miami. And if you use the name Hassan Whiteside in the same sentence as Dwayne Wade again, you need to be evicted from the state of Florida. They need to evict you from the state of Florida because you obviously know what the hell you're talking about. All right? And for those fans of the shows, we're putting together something for the 4th of July weekend where we're going to try to do a live show. We're going to do a video the whole nine with our new haberdashery clothing person. who's going to be, you know, designing stuff for us. Listen, we got big things going on. Stephen A. Smith, I still can't stand you. And I'm good.
The dude is amazing. I tell you, man. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here tomorrow, roundtabling this thing up. We got NFL draft going on. We still got this game six popping off with the Spurs. I want to see what my Lions do with this 23rd pick. Please, Melvin Gordon, fall in our lap. That's all I want. If I can get this running back to run with Calvin, I love it.
You're going
to
get him.
On that. Excuse me,
you're
I'm sorry. Get to cut off.
No. Oh, I was saying you're going to get him. He's going to drop. You're going to get Melvin Gordon, man.
Somebody going to end up picking him up. If not, Mayhew, if you get Melvin Gordon, I apologize. I apologize for everything I said.
Hey, Ty, real quick. I'm sorry. I forgot. That was something I meant to say. What's his name going to St. Louis? Tell me that's not a Jeff Fisher pick. Tell me that Jeff Fisher did not say, I want him. Tell me that's not a Jeff. Look at that team. Oh, my God. They got defense and running backs. Oh, my God.
Right. Him and Trey Mason could be a problem. But we'll save that. You save that food for tomorrow since you really wanted to call me and mine out. Ma can't even believe he did this. I don't even know if you're going to ever hear this. But if you are, I'm going to get in my tail at night voice and say, really? He really went this route. You know what? I'll see him tomorrow in his kitchen. You already know what time it is, Sports City. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if Chandler don't know, now he know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. The clock tips.